If you brought a Bible with you today, you might want to find Psalm 137. Just months after I entered into this world, three heavyweights of rock and roll died in a plane, terrible plane accident, crash in northern Iowa. You remember them, some of you, as the Big Bopper, Richie Valens, and then Buddy Holly. And when they died, many people in the rock world thought, the music had died. Frank Don McLean, some 10, 12 years later, wrote a very famous 8.5-minute song, Bye Bye Miss American Pie, and you can still hear those words, can't you? The day, the what? The music died. Well, it didn't die. And I'm sure that everyone here has a song on their heart. It just might not be the song of God, because we're so musical in our nature. But there is a time, let's not make any mistake, there is a time in a follower of Christ's life where the music can virtually die. It did die in the life of Robert Morrison, who we just saw the testimony of on the video. I'll come back to that. After this outstanding testimony, the music died in his life. It would come back, but there was a period of great wilderness in his life. The time that the music dies in our lives is a time when we become spiritual POWs, prisoners of war. Because we are at war, are we not, in this world? And some of us become we become prisoners of that war, of sin, and we go into captivity. The Bible tells us that we can, having been delivered from our sins, we can still be taken captive. In fact, Paul told us, when you're appealing to somebody who's fallen away from God, realize that they have been taken captive by the devil to do his will. Have you ever read that? He told us in Romans, don't you know that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, slaves to obey, his servants, his slaves, you are whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. As we finish up this series, David's Greatest Hits, we have seen all kinds of songs. Remember, these psalms are songs. They're meant to be sung to the accompaniment of music. And they're not all praise songs, are they? We've learned that there are praise songs, there's happy songs, there's sad songs, there's heavy songs, there's complaints, there's songs of complaints, there's songs of trust. And in some cases, and in some of your lives, there is no song. No song at all. The music has died. And no other psalm depicts the day the music died like Psalm 137. Now, I want to read this psalm, and I'm going to warn you, the last part of the psalm is very graphic. It's very powerful. And you, and some of you, and some of your, if you have an uninformed mind about the context, and I'll deal with that, it's going to trouble you what you're going to read. But listen to the entire psalm beginning in verse 1. By the waters of Babylon, that tells you where they were, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion, think Jerusalem, on the willows where we hung our lyres, or that is our harps. For there our captors required of us songs, and our tormentors mirth, that means gaiety, happiness, joyful songs, saying, sing us one of those songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. Let my tongue stick to the roof of its mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy, Remember, O Lord, against the Edomites, the day of Jerusalem, how they said, lay it bare, down to the foundations. O daughter of Babylon, doomed to be destroyed, blessed shall he be who repays you with what you've done to us. Blessed be he who takes your little ones and dashes them against the rock. Well, that's quite the ending of a psalm, isn't it? This is the song of a spiritual POW. Taken captive. The music has died. And the songwriter here recalls a time not long ago in his life, but apparently it was just past. He's since returned from that captivity when this Levite writes this song. And notice he says, by the waters of Babylon. That tells us where he was. The waters of Babylon would have been probably the Euphrates or the Tigris. There would be several canals. And it was by one of those canals that these captives to the Babylonians, these Jewish captives, were enslaved. And he remembers that. He's writing a song about a time when there was no song. The captivity in Babylon, just to give you a little context here, so you can appreciate what he's talking about, was when Nebuchadnezzar, the great king of Babylon, came over to Judah, the southern tribes, and took them captive. We remember the days of Daniel and Jeremiah, some of the other prophets, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the house of Nebuchadnezzar. Remember that? So in 586, Nebuchadnezzar comes over and captures Judah, brings the temple artifacts, tears the walls down, and brings many of the captors back to Babylon. But not all of them. That's kind of how we remember this. But it was much, much worse than that. These Babylonians, remember the Iranians today and many of the Iraqis find their blood descent in these Babylonians. There was no mercy. There was no grace. They knew nothing of that. And when they went into Jerusalem, they didn't just tear the walls down. They didn't just ravish the temple. They went on a killing spree like there would never be until perhaps World War II and Hitler. But the truth of the matter is, killing and ravishing and raping women and taking babies and literally taking babies because babies grow up to become men, to become warriors, to become enemies, and smashing them in front of their mothers. And so these captors who survived this, only the cream of the crop survived, they're taken over to Babylon, and their tormentors are saying, hey, sing us one of those songs you like to sing back there in Jerusalem. Imagine what was going through their minds. And if you, the only thing we can compare it to would be World War II. Remember, if all we had were reports that Hitler was a really bad guy, and he was hurting the Jews, we'd think, oh, that's bad. But when the images started coming back, when we started getting those images, those emaciated bodies, those piles of dead bodies, 6 million plus, then we were horrified when we recognized what an awful tyrant this was. It's something like this that was going through the minds of these people along the waters of Babylon. Notice they're not just called captors, they're called tormentors. Again, they knew nothing of grace. And they're asking them to sing a song. And by the way, so when you read the last part of verses like this and some others in the Psalms, you think, oh, how can they be so mean? I love what Spurgeon says. He says, let those find fault with it who have never seen their temple burned, their city ruined, their wives raped, their children slain. They might not perhaps be so velvet-mouthed if they had suffered after this fashion. And so the writer contrasts Babylon and Zion. Notice they haven't lost their heart for Zion, but the reason they're in Babylon is because of their own sin. God had warned them repeatedly, you leave me, I will send captors in. You will be disciplined for leaving me, for walking away from me, from disobeying me. And God, always true to his word, amen, allowed them to become captors in Babylon. Babylon and Jerusalem are virtually set in contrast throughout the Bible from the very beginning. Remember the Tower of Babel? Remember that? And Jerusalem, very early on in the Bible, all the way to the very end, we have the New Jerusalem, and we have, Revelation 18 and 19, Babylon, oh Babylon, how mighty have you were and how you have fallen. Babylon and Jerusalem are set in contrast. Babylon, the word, we get our word Babel from that word, means confusion. And it represents a person living in this world. Your life is confused. You're captive to your sin. You're far, far, far away from God. And Jerusalem, just the opposite. It pictures God. It pictures joy. It pictures faith. It pictures peace. Jerusalem means peace. And the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Augustine wrote a book that literally took over the Middle Ages called The City of God, where he contrasts Babylon and Jerusalem. And the fact of the matter is, every single one of us here are living in one of those places right now, spiritually speaking. You are either in Babylon or you're in Jerusalem. Which one is it? These captors taunt their heart in their heartlessness. They taunted these Jews to sing them a song. The songs of joy that they remembered in Zion, in Jerusalem. And look at verse 4. Look at it. This is so pathetic, isn't it? How shall I sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? I mean, a foreign land is a land you don't belong in, isn't it? Far, far, far away from God. It's not as if they had, listen to this, it's not as if they had forgotten the songs. They just couldn't sing them. They just couldn't sing them. And neither can you if you're living in Babylon. You hear these words, you know the song, but you can't sing. You might give lip service to them, kind of like Mike was talking about in the baptismal, going to church, singing, just going through the whole legalistic thing. But it's not in your heart, and you know it's not in your heart. And so for many of you, you can't even utter the words because, well, after all, you're living in Babylon. And how can you sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? So they hang up their harps. You know, they didn't smash their harps, but they did hang them up for another time, when they would be rescued from Babylon and return to Jerusalem. And there's another psalm. Psalm 126 talks about that. When we got back, we were like those who dream, and the song returns. And wouldn't you like that? Really, wouldn't you like that? Wouldn't you like to have the song back? You see, both believers and unbelievers sin. Do we get that? Both believers and unbelievers sin. But only unbelievers can enjoy it continuously. That is, unless you're an unbeliever being drawn by God. In another baptism just a month or so ago, Stacy McGregor talked about that. She'd gone on an all-night drunken spree and was in the hospital, nearly died, came out of her stupor and realized, what am I doing with my life? I can remember having heard the gospel over and over again, but I loved my sin. Let's be honest, we love our sin. I loved my sin. And I didn't want to come to the light. And yet I could sense it was drawing me. And God did make me miserable. And there was a time where I finally got it. It was when I was sitting in the chair. My little girl was crawling across the floor. She reached under the couch. She pulled out my pan that I had marijuana in. She had a fistful of it, ready to put it into her mouth. I barely stopped her in time. And I can remember sitting back in my chair thinking, what am I doing with my life? And God began to draw me. I wanted that song. And a few months later, I would get it. You see, if you're a believer, a true believer, you cannot remain in Babylon and enjoy it. You might remain there, but you will not enjoy it. And you are not enjoying it. Some of you are in Babylon right now, and you don't enjoy it. Just admit it. You're getting tired. You want to go back. There is a bus called Jesus that'll take you back. Amen? It has repentance written on the side of it. You come back to him, and he'll put the song back in your mouth, even praise to your God, so that many will see it, and they'll fear, and they'll trust in the Lord. Someone has said that God loves you so much, he will allow you to go to Babylon, but he loves you too much to allow you to enjoy it while you're there. In fact, you're longing to return to Babylon. Listen carefully to this. You're longing to return to Jerusalem, rather. Maybe the only evidence in your life that you are a follower of Christ, if there's any longing at all. Robert Robinson, that we heard the testimony on by video, powerful story, powerful story. He wrote, and we sang it toward the end of that hymn, these powerful words, drink them in. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Can you relate to that? Prone to leave the God I love. Well, as the story has it, Robinson himself strayed away, apparently just through neglect. And we can wander, can't we? I know I can wander. My heart can wander. My mind can wander. My eyes can wander. And if I allow that wandering to continue, I'll find myself in Babylon, just like some of you have found yourselves. Apparently, that's what happened to Robinson. Just through neglect, this man of God, great, snatched like a brand from the fire as a result of George Whitefield's preaching. A preacher of the gospel himself began to neglect things, got far away from God. Instead of repenting, thought traveling would do. And so he starts to travel the world, or his world at that time, in Europe, and found himself in the same stagecoach as another woman who was, are you ready for this? Humming, Come Thou Fount. And she said, do you like the song? Robinson's reply was, Madam, I am the poor, unhappy man who wrote that song. And I would give 1,000 worlds to have the feeling back that I had when I wrote it. And I'm guessing, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, and you're far, far, far away from the Lord, you're living in Babylon, you'd give 1,000 worlds to get that back too. You don't have to. That woman said to Robinson, the streams of mercy that you wrote about are still available. And that moment is what brought him back to the Lord. And he got that song back in his life. Prone to wander, Lord, I what? I feel it. And so do you. Some of you have never, you've never been to Jerusalem. You've never been to God. You're so far away from God. Did you listen to those testimonies? Would you like to get out of Babylon? Would you like to be free from your sin? You heard three stories. Why don't you believe their story and believe on Jesus Christ, who will rescue you from your sin, snatch you from Babylon, take you to Jerusalem, and give you eternal life? And I don't know what's making you wander. Those of you who have really think you've trusted Jesus, your wandering could be as a result of a number of things. It could be just simple neglect that makes you wander. Some of you are harboring bitter spirits towards somebody else. Somebody has done you wrong. You are unwilling to forgive them, and you won't forgive them, and you are living an unhappy, bitter life right now. You have no song in your life because you're an unforgiving person. Some of you are cherishing some secret sin that no one else knows about. Oh, don't fool yourself. Whatever it is, mister, whatever it is, lady, God knows it. And you know it because you have no song in your life. You've wandered, and you're back in Babylon. Why don't you let the God who so loves you, who has already proven his love for you, bring you back? Just tell him you're sorry. Confess that sin. Be specific about it. Make it right with whoever you are at odds with, or whoever you have ripped off, whoever you have hurt. And if it's just God, go to him. Seek his forgiveness. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. Will you pray with me? Father, we have heard tremendous stories today in the baptismal, tremendous stories of your powerful grace. And we have seen the tears, and we've been moved by the way you moved these precious ones who gave testimony. And some of us were moved because we don't have that. Our hearts are far away from you. Some of us have never received Jesus as our Savior. All we've ever known is Babylon. All we've ever known is captivity. All we've ever known is sin. All we've ever known is a life in this world. But some of us feel like, oh God, you love me and you've sent Jesus to die for me. And I want this. I want him to cleanse me of my sins. I want to know this fount of blessing and joy and song. And I don't want the music to be dead in my life. I want to be alive. And I ask you to come into my life, Lord Jesus, and take my sins away and be my Savior. Is that your heart cry? Some of you who would say, oh, I know I'm a follower of Jesus, but I don't know how it even happened to me, but somehow or another I find myself back in Babylon. I long for that song, but I can't sing it because I'm harboring some bitterness, some unforgiving spirit. I'm cherishing some sin in my life. It might be just covetousness, wishing I had something somebody else has. It might be pornographic. It might be some unethical or unlawful thing that I'm doing, and I know it's wrong. And oh God, I need to leave this because it's killing me. It's caused me to become a captive. I confess that sin to you now. Can you say that to God? I want to get on that bus that takes me back to Jerusalem. I want to receive that song, Lord, that I used to have, and I want it back, because I can't sing your songs in a foreign land. Father in heaven, these things I pray for all of us today, that we might admit with Robert Robinson, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love, and then have this same song and prayer of dedication whereby we say, here is my heart, Lord, take and seal it for your courts above in the heavenly Jerusalem. We pray these things in Jesus' name.
We'd like to thank you for listening to our weekly podcast. We'd also like to invite you to visit our website at www.sailorvillebaptist.com. Drop us a line and let us know how we can serve you better. We'll see you next week.